Yeah. As opposed to you know, creative imaginings of what the space could be, or, yeah. or how we could treat other people who yeah. are providing a service, or all of that, right?
Yeah, that was the area I was talking with a group of people. Danny was part of it, and it was like I was the oldest, the elder of the group, and I kind of was like, I don't subscribe to that. I don't subscribe. You guys are part of the future of journalism, right? Like, I mean, a lot of my generation of people are not even going to be around here. Like, I don't feel that you have to, like, completely adhere to. Suck it up. This is just how it is. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there's so many other professions where disrespect is not accepted. Mm-hmm. So why should we continue on in this path? So that was the one area that also was like,
Well, especially in an era where, you know, trust in journalism is so low. Mm-hmm. Like that is, you know, obviously to some extent that it is on reporters and on journalists and news organizations to conduct themselves in a way that engenders trust, that mm-hmm. fosters trust, mm-hmm. that allows for people to trust them. But it's also a two-way street, right? And mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to do any good for me to preach to people like, don't be mad to journalists, right. Don't be mean to journalists, right? Because right? people yeah. who are going to be mean to journalists will hear that and 100%. You know, and turn that right back around. But I do think that it's interesting because there was also a lot of conversation about media literacy mm-hmm. and
mm-hmm. when should it start?
When it starts and whose responsibility that is. Mm-hmm. And someone very specifically asked a question like, I think it was someone from the UBC, the campus paper at UBC, was saying like, so what's our responsibility to educate our readership in media literacy? Mm-hmm. And the answers were pretty dismissive, I thought. Mm-hmm. They were all like, well, if they're reading your paper, they've got pretty good media literacy. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
Okay, assumptions.
Okay, assumptions. Lots of people on campus, might be the first newspaper they've ever picked up, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And I think particularly at an educational institution, like, yeah, maybe there is a responsibility, you know, for us included mm-hmm. to do some form of, you know, building and fostering and even explaining the value of media literacy and not mm-hmm. just being like, well, schools need to cover that,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know? And I think, again, it's very, oh, it's kind of sticking your head in the sand mm-hmm. to be like, oh, well, like, no, schools need to deal with that. And we'll just keep doing what we do and we'll trust that people will be media literate enough to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's kind of what we've been doing for the last few decades and look where we're at.
Absolutely. And I feel that it was coming from the seasoned folks the most, right? Mm-hmm. Of I feel like they've adapted enough and that's as far as they want to adapt. You know, like mm-hmm. I already have to do a TikTok or I have to already, you know, deal with comments on a post, right? Like that's as far as I want to go type of thing. And really sticking to, like, I went through the trenches of this study and that's really where my focus needs to be.
Yeah. Well, I think if you also, you know, there was a lot of talk of, you know, journalism as a public service. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is, you know, very foundational to the concept of journalism is that you're telling the public what is actually happening, mm-hmm. right? But I think that, you know, public service and what that means and what is needed change over time, mm-hmm. right? And really, who is better suited to explain the importance of media literacy and the ins and outs of media literacy than the people making than producing the media,
Hello.
Right? I think there are obviously issues there of like, well, can I be objective about you know, sources and media literacy and all of that if I am one of the people involved and I'm teaching it to you, right? There's always going to be that question of like, well, are you teaching me the true, like, impartial way to distinguish things, or are you saying that, you know, only the sources you like are valid, et cetera? I can claim and practice to be objective and to present it in an objective way, but that's always going to be a question coming sort of like from the horse's mouth, mm-hmm. as it were. But I don't know. I don't think that means we shouldn't try necessarily. Right?
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Anything else from the conference that really stuck out for either of you?
I thought it was interesting that our former premier of BC, Christy Clark.
Yeah, Christy Clark was there.
The host of a panel. Which was, that one was titled Politics, Power, and the Press.
Yes.
And then the moderator for that was Simi Sara, the host of Mornings with Simi on Global News. Mm-hmm.
And along with Richard Gray, the vice president of CTV News.
Yes.
That was an interesting panel because there were moments where I thought to myself, like, oh, is this, like, have her opinions, like, maybe, like, changed a bit since leaving office? And maybe that's the case. But it also kind of felt in moments like she was reading the room well.
Like she is a gifted, charismatic public 100%. Speaker who managed to rise to the like the second highest office you can in this country.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. And just that whole like thing was interesting because there was that moment where Richard Gray was like, yeah, and you know, it'd be really great if you like ran again for office.
Yeah,
like,
there was a
and
lot.
And there was
that,
like, and the room just went silent.
And like, yeah. one person in the back was like, woo, and then there everyone was, just like, you could hear a pin drop.
And like, not necessarily, like, you know, and I don't want that to like, I don't want to assume like the political opinions of like the broad, but it's like, but it is like, you know, like, I don't think any journalist in a journalistic context, which we were in, would want to like outwardly express.
Well, and
like,
she explicitly in answering questions explicitly said that she would not, as premier, have sat down for an interview with multiple of the publications
so
present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Because they have a perspective that is pro-environment, and that's not the message she wanted to put out. Right? Like, very interesting. And
because
an interesting choice.
I wrote this down. She said that a politician's thought process can be, how is my message going to be heard based on the person that they talk to, right? So basically, if they feel that their message is not going to come across in either a positive light or whatever.
Well, and I mean, that is you know, she is speaking from her own long experience as a very successful politician. Mm-hmm. I think that's not something we want to hear, right? I do think that there's some truth to that, but I also think that that's not every politician's perspective.
No,
right? Mm-hmm. That is probably the perspective of someone who is very entrenched in the system, and again, it's a very like, well, this is the way it is, as opposed to like, well, what should it be?
Yeah. But then on the same note, she also said democracy doesn't work without journalism.
Mm-hmm. So but I think
it's like
I think the impression I got is that she, as a politician, sees journalism as an effective tool to get her message out, as opposed to you know, the role of journalism in the political sphere is to hold politicians to account and to ask them questions that they don't want to answer and to, whether they answer them or not, give that information to the public, right? Yeah. And, it was an interesting choice to have her as a speaker. I kind of understand because she does, you know, before being the premier of British Columbia, was a talk radio host and has now gone back to hosting a podcast.
Yeah.
And so there is a through line there, but
there was one question that was asked at the end of the panel that I enjoyed, which was someone from Richmond News came up and said that, you know, when it comes to communicating with the province on matters related to media, you know, whether that's getting a statement or an interview or any kind of like contact, it has been very difficult as of late, to the point where like even they might get a statement and it won't even directly answer like what the question was. And how they've said in the past, you know, like they've tried to like be cordial and nice about it and just like state what the province gave. The response to that I thought was interesting because they basically said like, no, like if that is happening, like let your audience know that that's happening. Yeah. And it was like, oh yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, so much of journalism, particularly political journalism, is about access, right? And the way that, I mean, you see it with like a very obvious, clear example of it is with the Trump in the United States, in that if you ask him questions he doesn't want to answer once, more than once, you won't get to ask questions anymore.
Yeah.
Right? But Are you doing the journalism to get to speak to him, or are you doing the journalism to tell the truth of the situation, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that's... It does take a certain amount of... You have to be willing to sort of burn that bridge, as it were, right? But at the same time, if they're not answering anyway, what bridge are you burning, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I think it is important to know and to communicate to our audience that, you know, if we reach out to someone and they refuse to speak to us, that they have refused to speak to us,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's something that impacts us when we do election coverage,
right?
Whether it's that they don't value our platform, or they don't agree with us ideologically, or they don't, see us as legitimate, or whatever it is, we have a hard time getting... We have had a hard time getting, candidates in elections to speak with us. Mm-hmm. And some of that is also policy. Like, we're never going to expect to hear from the Conservative Party because they just don't do any media.
Right. Yeah.
Right? But, you know, we didn't hear back from most NDP MP mm-hmm. Candidates. We heard back from some Green Party candidates and some People's Party of Canada candidates, which also says that it's probably not ideological, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that they don't want to speak to us because they don't have to. Is part of it, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Because what a hassle to have to answer some questions.
Absolutely. Right. One of the other things that stood out to me, especially with us being in radio, and there wasn't a lot of radio talk, and I think it was... Who was it? I think it was Richard Gray, who basically said that... Like, they're everywhere, mm-hmm. right? And that's kind of what their focus is, to get their brand recognition. I mean, obviously, they have a budget to be able to identify who their viewership is, because he really brought out a lot of stats. Mm-hmm. So they know who, you know, their numbers and things of that nature. But it you know, we've talked about it, the fact that the more you are in the community, the more you are, you know, at things, the more that people become aware of your platform. Yeah. So, I mean, that was something that I was like, okay, well, at least mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah, well, and his comment that you have to sort of meet the audience where they
yeah,
are.
Yeah. Yes.
They're not necessarily going to come to you. So yeah. That's more motivation to be, you know, more multi-platform,
yeah.
But also just making sure that, like you're saying, people know that we're there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Expect to see us out in the community.
I Absolutely. Guess.
Including up at SFU Burnaby for Clubs Days today.
Hey, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Great time to get involved. There's not a ton of, I mean, there are people around the station, but you won't have to wait very long to get trained if you're interested in coming aboard.
Absolutely.
You can pop by the station. You can pop by Clubs Days. Is it in the AQ right now? Because I think convocation's happening in Combo Mall.
Anyway, yeah, maybe in there.
It's at SFU.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or you can email Jeremy, VOL4CJSF at SFU.ca, or go to cjsf.ca/signup. Danny, I know you have an interview to get to.
I do.
And I'm going to get back to
Nicole's
got to
do work, I guess. Thanks for joining
thanks
me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And maybe we'll go to another conference. We can all talk about something.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Great. Thanks. That was Danny Nesvedarani and Nicole Hines, our community reporter and public affairs coordinator / also community reporter, talking about the Future of Journalism Conference at UBC yesterday, co-hosted by the Canadian Journalism Foundation and UBC's Global Journalism Innovation Lab. I'm Jesse. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. And we're going to hear a little bit more music, and then I'll come back with one more thing to talk about. By Kids With Knives, off their new record, Open Wounds. This is Underdark. Sacrifice.
destroy evergreens that grow in the forest of midnight. With a knife in my hand, I've come to cleanse the land, and I won't stop till I with
Underdark by Kids With Knives from the new record Open Wounds, which is out now. You can grab it on Bandcamp. Very eclectic record. We've got some shoegaze. We've got that kind of like, I don't know, folk adjacent stuff. There's straight up punk. All sorts of cool stuff on there. $7. Check it out. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Coming up next is Democracy Now, which has been playing here on CJSF forever, for 20 years or so. And this week, I've been talking about my experiences at the conferences over the last week. And part of the NCRC last week in Toronto on Monday, not this past Monday, but the one before, we had the first grassroots showing of Steal This Story, Please, which is a new documentary about Amy Goodman and Democracy Now that was just really, really captivating, really great. And we got a Q&A with Amy afterwards. Amazing. Sometimes it's great to meet your heroes, and particularly in light of the conversation we were having about journalism just prior and fearlessness and having a thick skin, no one embodies those qualities more than Amy Goodman. And I thought that before watching this film, and after watching it, holy moly, what an amazing career and life she has had and is having. I bring this up because that documentary, Steal This Story, Please, is opening up at the VIF Center starting this Friday, May 15th. Steal This Story, Please is a portrait of Amy Goodman's commitment to independent journalism and truth-telling over the past three decades. It's directed by Academy Award-nominated directors and producer Carl Dean and Tia Lassin. And the documentary, as I said, is going to be playing at the VIF Center starting this Friday, May 15th. And you can visit stealthestory.org for more information. It's so good. I cannot recommend it enough. And maybe the best way to sway you is to just play you a couple clips. This is David Isay, the founder of StoryCorps, about Amy. Just kidding. That's not playing. So let's try a different way, shall we? Ba 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 ba. The radio way. Here we go. Just kidding. The files don't have any audio. None of them. Okay, well, then I'll just play you the trailer because it's great. And you should go see this movie on Friday.
I'm Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! Right. Can you tell us what you think about President Trump saying climate change is a Chinese hoax?
I'm sorry, I'm running late for a meeting. Thanks.
Right, but you weren't running late when you're just standing there, so.
My first impressions of Amy.
What did you say to those who say that you're a war criminal?
Man, she doesn't care what anybody thinks.
Well, don't push me. I'm a journalist here.
Independent media is the oxygen of a democracy.
What do you mean by independent?
Not being sponsored by corporations.
Amy's chaotically brilliant at the spy game.
We began on 9 radio stations.
If she believes something, she's going to fight for it and get it out to the world. Straight up journalism.
It came from my Jewish education that you ask questions.
Sharif, can you talk about what's happened on the Gaza Strip?
From ground zero from East Timor, as we deplane in Haiti, from Georgia's death row prison.
We had to smuggle in our recording equipment. This was extremely dangerous. We're accusing a powerful American corporation of murder.
Without any warning, military opened fire on the protesters. They put the guns to our heads. It is critical that we expose what is done in our name.
Donald Trump understood corporate owners of the media would do anything for money.
She taught me, speak to the people at the target's end of the bomb. Speak to those who are being deliberately silenced.
When you hear someone speak, it's less likely you'll want to destroy them.
We expand the frame and center those voices.
There is a great force that would like to silence us.
The press is the enemy of the people.
We're not the only thing to do it, no
one. And we're not going to let it happen.
Steal This Story, Please, the film about Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!, opening May 15th at the VIF Center. That's Friday. That's tomorrow. Go check it out, stealthestory.org. I can't recommend it enough. Okay, and now to the other kind of television that is about real things happening, reality TV. This is a new single by Be Afraid from their new record, Working. I'll be back next week. Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman is next. Thanks for listening.
Listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
How much do you love this station? People dedicated to your community. News that directly matters to you. This station needs your support. Go to mycri.ca to find out more about the Community Radio Initiative, which will provide core funding for this station. At MyCRI, you will find an easy way to create an email that you can send to the politicians who need to hear your message. Just 5 minutes and a few clicks make a big difference.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, MyCRI.ca. For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m.